You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. Oh, glory. Thank God for Joshua. Joshua means deliverer, savior. Actually, it's the Hebrew of Jesus. You know, New Testament is Jesus. But that's the word Joshua. He was the deliverer. He's the savior. And Jesus is our savior, our deliverer. He delivered us and saved us. Praise God. You know, Joshua was just an awesome guy. He was a great follower. He was a great servant of Moses. He became a tremendous leader, the general, the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel after Moses passed away. But for 40 years in the wilderness, he served Moses, and he was very loyal, and he was very faithful. The greatest leaders have been the greatest followers. In fact, you can't really lead until you learn to follow. That's just the way it is. And you can't, you know, as Cornell West of said this, he's a professor of, he's a professor of a college. I read it on the side of a Starbucks cup. No, it's got to be good. But he said this, he said, you can't save the people if you don't serve the people. You can't lead the people if you don't love the people. And so you got to have a compassion for people. You got to have a passion for people. You got to learn to love in order to lead, and you got to learn to serve, to save, and help. And you know, we've been teaching on leadership quite a bit on Sunday night to our departmental heads, and leadership is serving. That's what it is. It's serving. It's giving your heart to people. It's giving your heart and your time and your sacrifice. If you want to go up, you got to give up. You got to give up something to go up. It's the law of sacrifice. And so you give your time and your efforts and your heart and your prayers and your faith and your passion. And God will raise you up. If you humble yourself, He'll exalt you. Amen? And Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel. But not until he'd served for 40 years. Think about it. He was so faithful. He was a faithful servant to Moses. He served him. He stood on the bottom of the mountain waiting for Moses to come down off the mountain when everybody else was out there getting in sin. When the whole children of Israel made a golden calf to worship, Joshua was standing there guarding right there at the bottom of the mountain waiting for his leader, waiting for his mentor to come down off the mountain. He did whatever Moses told him to do. They'd go out and fight, and Moses would pray and stand up on the hilltop and lift his hands up. At one point, he lifted his hands up, and Aaron had to help him on one side, and Hur had to help him on the other because he couldn't keep his hands up. Moses had to keep his hands up over the battle. As long as his hands were up, they won the battle. They finally propped rocks up under his elbows. While all that's going on, Joshua's out there doing the what we'd say the dirty work. He had a hands-on ministry. Moses had a hands-up ministry. Amen. You know, but he never complained. He didn't say, "Where's Moses? I'm out here fighting. I'm out here doing it." He's up there praying, being spiritual. "I'm out here doing all the work." No, they understood. He understood there was a part for him to play out there, and that he was serving Moses, and Moses was serving God, and we're all servants of the Lord. Amen. And he was faithful and loyal in that respect. Well, Joshua, the book of Joshua comes around. That's when, after Moses dies, and Joshua takes the children of Israel into the promised land and begins to claim the inheritance that God had given them, the promise that He had made, that the land would be theirs, the land that flowed with milk and honey, Canaan land. They talked about it 40 years. They've been talking about this land. Whole generation died out in the wilderness of unbelief, doubt and unbelief. A whole generation died. And Joshua and Caleb, here they come in here. They're in their 80s. They're going to cross the Jordan River and take the land of Canaan. They did. They took it city by city, Jericho and Ai, and right on down the list, they just took city after city. And here's a tremendous miracle, spectacular event that took place in one of the battles in Joshua, the 10th chapter. Tremendous book. You ought to read Joshua. I'd recommend you read it. 66 books I'd like for you to read sometime in what we call the Bible. This is one of them. Hallelujah. In Joshua, the 10th chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you.'" This is kind of common. God just kept encouraging Joshua. He went from one battle after another battle after another battle. And this is really a picture of our walk, our Christian walk. Canaan land is not heaven. There are no battles in heaven. There's no giants in heaven. There's no people sitting on your cities up there. Hallelujah. The fight's over, praise God, when we get to heaven. But we're fighting down here. We fight for our ground. We fight for our inheritance. We fight for the promises. We have to believe. We have to stand. We have to confess. We have to live right and live holy, because there is a war going on down here. There's a battle going on for your soul, for your family, for your city, your state, your country. And we as Christians do have to fight. So Canaan land is indicative of that. It's a picture of our Christian walk, not of heaven. So Joshua, although he was promised all these things, he still had to do something to attain them. He had to believe God and pray and fight. He had to stay out of fear and stay in faith. He had to keep moving forward. Been said, you know, I don't remember who said it. I don't care which direction we go, as long as it's forward. Amen. And we want to go forward, not backwards. In fact, that's what God told Moses. That was a fascinating story. Moses backed up against the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army is hot on his tail. They're coming down hard, you know, on the Israelites. And they're not battle-proven people. They've just come out of bondage. Are you kidding? They just came out of Egypt. They've been slaves. I don't know anything about battle. And here's the greatest army in the world at that time, right behind them, coming strong with chariots and horsemen and so on and so forth. And Moses is, standing there. And God tells Moses an amazing thing. He says, "Why cry ye out to me? Go forward." Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, we spend too much time whining. I think we need to get up and go forward. Amen. Too much time crying. We need to get up and go. Hallelujah. Yeah. He told me, he said, "Stretch forth your rod over the sea and take them across the Red Sea." And he did. And the sea split and they won. Hallelujah. And Pharaoh and his army tried it. They were drowned in the midst of that sea. It just comes to the point we've got to get up and we've got to go. Sometimes the crying's over. We've had our pain, we've had our grief, we've had our sorrow, and those things happen. But you've got to rise up. You've got to go forward. Hallelujah. Got to shake it off. Amen. Sure, there are things that make us grieve. Sure, there are things that make us sorrow. But grief, you don't want to pick it up. Don't let it become a spirit in your life. Just get over it. I mean, cry, and if you cry, stand back up and get a hold of the word and let's go on. Amen. God wants you to have victory. He wants you to win. There's tragedy in this life. There's crisis in this life. But I'll tell you, that's not your destiny. You're not doomed to repeat that over and over. Jesus came down here to procure for you and get for you a victory. Hallelujah. Yes. A win. And we win. Yes, we so he was encouraging Joshua. Although there was a fight to be fought, there was a battle to be won, victory was secure. And rest assured, you're going to have a lot more battles in life if you live down here. But victory is secure. If you trust Jesus. You say, "Well, I'm just going one battle to the next." No, you're going from one victory to the next. Hallelujah. Well, it seems like I just have one test after another. No, you go from passing one test to passing another test. That's life. Life's full of tests and passing tests. And every time you pass one, it seems like another one comes. But you know what? You pass that one. And every time you pass a test, you go a little higher. Amen? God's not doing the testing. He's not throwing the battle at you. He's giving you the victory. He's given you the means to overcome. So it says here, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them." That's the main thing you got to get a hold of in crisis and battle and challenges and tests and trials. Do not fear them. Do not fear tests. Do not fear trials. Do not fear crisis. When crisis hits, do not fear it. Amen. Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hands. I think Psalms 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever affliction hits, He has delivered them into our hands. Amen. Whatever crisis hits, whatever test comes, thank God He has delivered us and delivered them into our hand. Do not fear them. Wow. "I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Not a one of those afflictions will last. Not a one of those tests will be permanent. Not a one of those trials or crises or battles is forever. They will not be able to stand before you. Every single one of them will fall." Amen. And we will look at them as an old tale. Oh, they may come and they may rise up. Hello. Mm-hmm. And you may go through them, but you will go through and come out the other side. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not yea, though I die in the valley, but yea, though I go through the valley." Amen. They didn't die in the midst of that Red Sea. They crossed through the Red Sea. He didn't take them around it, didn't take them over it, didn't take them under it. Took them right through it. Hallelujah. And you can go right through this thing in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? He said, "Well, I'm going through some things." Well, thank God you're going through. Thank God you're not staying there. You're going through and you're coming out the other side. Hallelujah. Woo. So it says, Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly. I like that. In other words, he says, come on with it. Or, you know, as we'd say, come on with your bad self. You know. I think as Norman Vincent Peale said something about, he saw trouble coming down the road and he said, hello, trouble, I've been waiting for you all my life. Been preparing for you, been waiting for you. Come on, I'm ready for you. Are you with me? See, it's an attitude, a perspective that he came into it with. You got to have the right attitude when you go into a trial, a test, and a trouble, and a crisis, and a battle. The attitude should be, I do not fear. God has delivered it into my hands. Amen? You say, well, am I going to have to fight? Well, sure you're going to have to fight. That's part of it. That's how you win battles. You got to fight battles to win battles. You can't lay down. You can't give up. Can't go home, get in the closet, and shut the door. Unplug the phone. Don't talk to anybody. Hello. Oh, no, no, don't you do that now. You get out there and you fight that battle. You face it head on and you go through it. With the help of God, you'll win that thing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. Azekah and Makkedah. You ever been there? I hadn't either. Probably is no more. I don't know, it probably doesn't exist anymore. I think Joshua messed them all up and routed them. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down huge or large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. Now, I think this is fascinating. God intervened, no question. He came on the scene, supernaturally moved, but he didn't move till Joshua moved. And you know what? He didn't even do that right away. But the longer he stood, the longer he fought, the more God got involved. And the longer you fight, and the longer you stand, the more God will get involved. He'll increase the supernatural deliverance. He'll increase his intervention. He'll come on stronger as you come on stronger. In fact, really, he'll do what you do. You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen a righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging bread. You know the song. Okay. And as it happened, as they fled from Israel, 11th verse, and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were none who died from the hailstones. There were more that died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with a sword. Wow. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Amen. Wow. I mean, this is a fascinating story. I mean, Joshua was so wrapped up in this battle, so wrapped up in this victory. In fact, victory was so, he wasn't quite through, see. And the day was waning. It was going away. The light was dissipating. And he didn't want to quit, half finished, half winning the battle. And he commanded the sun to stand still. 13th verse goes on and says, is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. My, my, my. If God's got to stop the sun, he'll do it. Whatever God's got to do, he will do to get you the victory. Amen. So you can win. There's nothing he won't do to procure for you the victory. If you will trust him, if you will stand, if you will fight, you'll win. 14th verse. And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Wow. The Lord fought for, everybody say the Lord fought for Israel. But I want you to notice, the Lord fought for Israel, but he fought for Israel as Israel fought. And God will fight for you as you fight. When he said, fear them not, Joshua, it says, suddenly came upon them. Actually, he marched all night, all day to get there. And then fought all day and then didn't think it was long enough and commanded the sun to stand still. You know, as I was reading this the other day, I was just meditating on this, that sometimes we get a victory, but we don't completely win. We don't really follow through. We get a little bit. But we need to complete the victory. You know, we get one victory, or get a partial victory, or, you know, but we don't take it to the very end. We don't just get it all done, as it were. We need to get it done. You know what I mean? And I saw in this, and what came alive to me, and that's just kind of an analogy, but it still holds valid, is that all Joshua needed to complete the victory, all Joshua needed to fully get the promise that was given to him, all he needed to fully experience it, fully win, was just a little more light. That's all. Hello. And I think sometimes we're not completely winning, and we're not getting the complete victory. We're not fully accomplishing that promise or fulfilling that promise or experiencing that promise because we just need a little more light. And if you can get a little more light on it, you can win it. If you can just hold on to that revelation a little longer, that light that has shone upon that promise, that victory that you've seen in the Word, that thing that made you shout, made you dance, made you run around to church, hallelujah, whatever the case may be, that made you scream and holler, and woo, yeah. You ever had that happen?
Amen.
Well, I think that's good, but sometimes we let that go down like the sun, and we need to hold it up there a little longer.
Amen.
We need the sun to stand a little longer. We need the revelation to stand a little longer.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We need to bask in it a little longer. We need not let it go. We need to walk in the light while we have the light. And in so doing, many times the victory we haven't completely finished, the promise we've never really fully experienced, will come to pass for us if we'll hold on to that revelation just a little longer. Y'all catching this? See, all you need is just a little more light. That's all. That's all you need. Just a little more light. Oh, God, I'm getting that. I just need a little more light on that. Oh, I'm starting to see something here, God. I don't want to lose this. Give me some more light, Lord. Bring this thing alive a little more to me. Revelation. See, light's always symbolic. You know, it's metaphor, simile, always symbolic of information, of direction. Are you with me? In fact, when you're in the dark on something, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
When you're in the light, you can see it. You can see where to go. In the dark, you stumble, you grope. That's what happened the ninth plague, the darkness that came upon Egypt. One of the 10 plagues, it was the ninth plague that came upon Egypt. In the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was light. But it said everybody else groped in the darkness and stayed in their homes and didn't go anywhere because darkness will always impede progress and light will always take you forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Light will always get you down the road. A little more revelation of God's Word will get you moving and get you having the victory, get you experiencing the promise. But as long as you're in the dark, you're not going to progress. You're not going anywhere. You're going to grope. You're going to stumble. You're not going to accomplish anything. And the more light we get, the more more victories we get. You say, well, I know everything I need to know. Well, you've gone as far as you're going to go. You can't go any further. You might as well just put the shades down on the windows. No sense looking outside. You're never going to go there. Hello.
Amen.
But if you want to go a little further, you want to open up those doors and you want to go out in that yard and see where that sun's shining, then get some more light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn with me to Psalms 27. Just a little more light. That's all we need. You know, it's amazing how you read something over and over and over and then one day you see it. I was sitting in my office reading that, and I thought, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. I never thought about it in terms of, he just needs a little more light. He could see it. I mean, he could see that's what God wanted, but see, he couldn't really accomplish it until he got a little more light on it. And he was basking in it. He was reveling in it. He was getting the victory in it. He was winning in it. And he said, God, hold it. I'm stopped right. I need that. I need some more of that. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we stop and we revel in and bask in and hold on to many times something that God shows us. Y'all catching what I'm saying here? You get in church, you get excited, but then we walk out of here and we don't remember. Give us a couple of days, we don't remember what the sermon was. At some point, you're going to have to say, light, stand still. Whoa, that's too good. Hold it. Whoa. Yeah. Are you with me? Man, I got to meditate on this. I need some more of this. I'm going to bask in this a while. I'm not letting this go down. Hold right there.
Amen?
And the longer you bask in it and the longer you hold on to it, the more complete your victory is going to be.
That's right.
It'll take you into victory. In fact, only the word you do will help you.
That's right.
It's not the word you hear, it's the word you do.
That's right.
It's the word you walk in. That's true in anything. That's true in college. That's true in university. That's true in school. I mean, only what you do helps you. The end of all knowledge is action.
That's
the whole point of learning something so you can do it. To apply it, hallelujah. And when revelation comes, when God brings something alive to you, and you know what I'm talking, I don't have to tell you this. Like that old country preacher said, that anointment, I don't know what that anointment is. He couldn't even say it. He said, I don't know what that anointment is, but I sure know when it ain't. In other words, he knew enough to know when it was. And he sure knew enough to know when it wasn't, or when it ain't, you know. So if you see something, how many times have you been in a service and you go, whoa, man, that is good. Something just come alive to you. You know, you write a note or circle or underline or highlight. I highlight a lot and underline, circle. I do all those things. Well, if you don't walk out of here and meditate on that, you're going to lose it. The sun will go down on that. And maybe you got a little victory. That's good. But see, you didn't fully experience it. You didn't get the complete promise or victory. So just hold on. Hold on to that thing. Hold on to it. Psalms 27. Notice what it says here. It's a great, tremendous psalm. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first few verses here. First verse says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. In other words, the Lord, if you'll bask in His presence, if you'll meditate and focus in on Him, if you'll hold a little longer your gaze on Him instead of that problem and look at Him and let Him lighten up the situation. Then He'll be your strength. Hallelujah. Your strength is the light of God. Your strength is the light of His salvation. Your strength, your deliverance, your salvation is revelation. It really is. It's as you know what God says, and what God says is revealed to you and it comes alive to you, that becomes your strength and that becomes your salvation. As long as the sun was shining, Joshua was winning. As long as he was walking in revelation, he was getting the battle done. See, when the sun goes down, you can't see anything. That's the thing. You really don't see it. And that's what's the problem in most cases, especially when we get down and depressed, especially when we give up and we're defeated in a crisis, in a sickness, in a disease, in poverty, and whatever the case may be. We're so in the dark, we can't see the thing the way it really is. If you could see it the way it really is, God is far above all this, far greater than all this, far better than all this, far more willing to help you than you could ever dream or imagine. But because you're in the dark, you can't see it. And because you can't see, you can't win. You've got to be able to see to win. And in order to see, you've got to have some light. Hello? You know, I just need a little more light on this. Or enlighten me. We even say those terms. You know, I don't like being in the dark on this. How come you didn't enlighten me on this? I'm not quite getting it. Could you just enlighten me a little bit? Yeah. You know, that's what you were saying. Show me. Let me see this thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Praise God. So he's talking about God shining on his life. That's what he's saying. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So how is God my salvation? How is God my strength? He's my strength through showing me what to do, through shining on my situation. See, without the word shining on your situation, you're still in the dark about it. You think you may know everything there is to know about it, but until God shines on it, you don't know anything. You're still in the dark. You still don't see it the way it really is. The way it really is that God loves you and He's for you and He's not against you, and you were born and destined to win, to go over, and you're not a loser, hallelujah. You're a victor in Christ Jesus and more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. And without the light of God on that, you're going to think you're a loser and you're going to think it's over and you're going to think there's nothing you can do. Don't buy the lie.
Amen.
Turn the light on. Flip on the switch of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
On God's word. Praise God. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. What's he saying? I'll be confident in this, that the Lord is my light. I'm going to look at it through the light of God. I'm going to see this with the light of heaven. I'm going to see it through the promise. The Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, glory to God. Turn with me to Psalms 119. We'll just casually read that whole psalm. No. I just want to pull out a couple of verses here. Psalms 119. Notice what it says over here. Verse 105. These are familiar scriptures. You ought to know these. Your word is a light, lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is light. See? And if you need to know where to walk, what to do, where to go, what path to get on, well, the Word gives you that light. Shines on the way you should go. God's Word always shines on a way you should go. It always shines on a thing you should do. Y'all catch it? Now, the only way you're going to win is to do the thing that the Lord is shining on, the Word is shining on for you to do. If you don't do it, if you don't walk in it, you miss your victory, you miss... See, Joshua needed light so he could pursue and finish this thing. Because there were some areas out there that weren't quite complete. There were some areas out there, there were some some valleys and some caves and some trees. There were some people hiding. He didn't have the complete victory, but without light he'd never be able to find them and finish the deal. And walk in the fullness of the blessing of God. And if you want to walk in the fullness of the blessing, the fullness of the promise, the fullness of the victory, you need that light to stand still a little longer.
Amen.
You need a little more light. And the Word of God is a light to our path, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It gives us, it tells us to do something, see? It's for the purpose of acting on it so we can see where we need to go and see what we need to do. Notice the 130th verse. The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So, has the word entered your situation? If it hadn't, you're still in the dark. And you're going to need a little more light to win this thing. Amen? Well, how do I turn up the light? You see those dimmer switches on a light? You can turn them real bright and turn them way. We can do that on these lights here. Over at the banquet, Jerry Savelle had, of course, we just got back from a couple days of meetings, and he had a banquet there, and they asked me to get up and say a few words about Jerry and Karen Savelle and their ministry and what they meant to us and our church, and it was really an honor. I mean, I was really blessed that they would ask me. They actually had Clay Cross singing, and he did a concert, a mini concert, and then the international director got me to come up and say a few words about Jerry Savelle and their ministry and what it meant to us. And I got up there, and they have lights, probably twice as many as these lights here. And it was a banquet, so there was candles at all the tables. So you step up on the stage, and those things were cranked up. I mean, I didn't have my sunblock on. I should have. But I got up on the stage, and I stood there, and you couldn't see anybody. You could not. There was no lights out here like there are here. Brother Jerry and Carolyn were sitting at the front table, and I could just make out a silhouette there. Literally. I mean, that's how dark it was. And I was like, you know... I'm thinking, turn a switch down. I'm a little too much light here, you know. But anyway, you could see up there. You just couldn't see out there. And the reason you couldn't see out there is you just needed a little more light. Hello. But I was in the light and they were in the dark. So, I did enlighten them. In fact, I thank Brother Jerry for paying off our bill in 1997, how it took us to another level. You know, talked about how we had showed him on our television channel that we broadcast every day. You know, Shining Light Broadcasting, 24 hours a day, we're broadcasting here in Wills Point and Edgewood. Hallelujah, reaching the world. Yeah. Wills Point and Edgewood. And I checked before I went up there to see how many times we were showing Jerry, and I think we showed him 6 times a day. You know, I didn't realize we were showing him that much. I think I need a little more time. I'm going to talk to Chris about that. But no, anyway. Light, those switches, you know, you can dim them or you can brighten them. Well, I believe we need to turn up the light. That's what I'm trying to say here. We need to turn up the light. When you catch a little light and you get a little revelation, don't leave it there. Don't let it just hang there. Don't let it wane and go down like the sun goes down at the end of the day. You take it home and you study that and you meditate on that and you walk in that. And as you do so, that thing will brighten up. And you know what? Your victory will increase. Your victory will increase. Your joy will increase. Your peace will increase. You're thinking of things right now. Even at every sermon I preach, I know this happens. You're out there and God will reveal something to you or deal with you about a situation in your life that you need to take care of or you need to pray about or you need to get involved in. Well, something along those lines. Don't walk out of here and forget that. Walk out of here, take that, and do something with that. Say, I'm going to follow through with that. I'm going to shine more light on that. Son, stand still. Hello? Don't just get a glimpse of it. Don't just get your foot a little wet. Jump on in the water. Amen. Let's get the full victory. Amen? Let's get this. Just stay with it. You know, we get a hold of something around here, we stay with it. Sometimes for years we stay with it. But we stay with it till we get it. Yeah. People make fun of us. That's okay. That's all right. Who's laughing now? You know, television channel? What are you, television channel? What are you talking about? What, you know how size church you've got? You know where you are? You know, by Elmo? Hiram? What are you, television channel? But see, it doesn't matter to us. We had that in our heart. We did it. We just did it. Praise God. God blessed it. Here we are. But what are you buying all that land? What do you need all that land for? Building. What are you building that big building for? Where are y'all getting all that money? You know, now it goes from what are you doing it for now to where are you getting all that money? People really think, and there are people really around town think that we have nothing but millionaires in our church. Well, we'll believe with them. We'll believe with them. No, I talk to people and I say, well, yeah, you know, y'all got that rich church over there. Y'all got, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, we'll take that. We got that rich church. You bet. You know, we're rich. Hallelujah. You know, we're just believing God. I mean, a lot of it comes in from outside. We don't even know where it comes from half the time. You know, people just give money. The point we make is you don't have to have all that. All you need is just a little more light. That's all. We got a little light on something here. And we're big about expanding the light and turning up the light and running with the light. And you know when we do, God will send hailstones to take care of the enemies. He'll clear out the obstacles. Supernaturally, He'll do things that we never even dreamed of. As we get involved, He gets involved. As we determine we're going to run with this thing, we're going to turn up the light. We're going to turn that dimmer switch all the way up. Hallelujah. Let's just see where we can go with this. Amen. And then start walking in it. I mean, if we can't do anything, pour the slab. We'll pour the slab of the building. We did that. It sat out there for 3 years. But there's a building up there now, isn't there?
That's right. Amen.
And we had enough money to put the building up. That was about it. You know, and then you got to do the electrical. But hey, people are starting to wire it right now. See, God will get involved if you get involved. But all you need is a little more light. Amen? So, the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let me close this out. Job 22. Turn to Job. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Turn to Job. Everybody's looking for a job? Well, here it is. Job, chapter 22. I love this. Actually, this is why we confess every service. One of the verses that we use to start confessing the word. In fact, I taught a message one time. Speaking shines light on what is spoken. Y'all might have heard that. When I teach a series on confession, I usually get on that and talk about how that as you speak the word, you shine light on whatever you're saying. If you'll speak the victory, you'll shine light on the victory. If you talk the problem, you're just shining light on the problem. That's all you're doing. And you're just, you know, all you see is what you say. You say, well, I'm just saying what I see. No, you're seeing what you're saying. You say, well, I'd like to believe that. I just can't see that. Well, you can't see it because you won't say it. Because if you'll say it, you'll see it because the entrance of God's Word gives light.
Amen.
Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, that's good preaching. Don't hang up now. Now, Job 22, verse 28. You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. It what? What you decree. You should decree a thing, and it, what you decree, shall be established unto you. What is established in your life? What is working in your life? I can tell you what's working in your life. What you've been saying. That's it. What you've been saying. Whether it's bad or good, whether it's defeat or victory. Hello. What you've been saying is what's going to be established in your life. If you want a firm foundation comes from a firm confession.
Amen.
Really, it's where it comes from. Why is that? Well, let's just go a little further. When you'll decree a thing, and it will be established unto you the thing you decree. So, and light will shine upon your ways. That's power packed. I mean, really, you could have camp meeting on that verse. Because a lot of times we're thinking, I don't know how in the world we're ever going to do this. Well, if you'll decree it, light will shine. Light will shine. Yeah, but I just don't see how it ever... Well, see, you can't see it because you won't say it. But if you'll say it, light will shine. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, yeah, but see, you've got to start saying it, and then light will shine. And see, if you don't say it, you're still going to be in the dark. You'll never see the way out. But if you start saying, bless God in the name of Jesus, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the victory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe I don't know how, but I know God's Word is true. And I say I'm a winner, not a loser. I say I'm going over, not under. I'm ahead, not the tail, above only, not beneath. The blessings of God are coming on me and overtaking me. Hallelujah. I'm blessed in the city and in the field, in the storehouse, in the fruit of my body, the fruit of my kind. The heavens come down. Rain comes down in my land in its season. God blesses all the work of my hand. And as you talk like that, all of a sudden, light begins to come. And you say, well, you know what? I could do this. I can do this. You know, there is, I didn't think about that. Sure, I could do this. Well, you didn't think about it because you never would say it. But if you'll decree a thing, it will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon your ways. That's why God told Joshua, don't you fear. Because that'll stop the light. See, you get in doubt and unbelief, start talking negatively. You'll kill it. You'll stop it. You'll just stop it. But if you start saying, my God's bigger than this. My God's greater than this. My God loves me. He's for me, not against me. Hallelujah. He loves blessing me. He loves showing out in my life and showing off in my life. He loves using me to accomplish His will. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I know God's going to do it. I look like everything's falling apart, but I know God doesn't fall apart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Looks like everything's coming to pieces, but God never changes. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, a solid rock I stand.
Amen.
And as you say that, light begins to come. God begins to reveal things to you. And all you need, just a little more light. Amen?
Yes.
And you can win this thing. You can complete this thing and get the full victory.